ज्ञानाति मिरन्धस्या ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थपितं येन भूतले स्वायं रूपकदा मायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवं च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहगणारघुनतं वितान्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं स्वदूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललितश्रीविषकं वितं च हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिककान्ता राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधावृंदवनेश्वरी वृषभानुसूत देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानं पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I've been invited to speak a little bit about the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. I assumed that more of you came to the first three meetings, appointment we have, but then realized that most of you didn't. So maybe we can resume in a few words the first three chapters, so that after we can devote the last 10 minutes to the fourth chapter. We have all to understand that although the Bhagavad Gita is a relatively small book, it is only 700 shlokas, 700 sutras, so it can be contained in a very small book of maybe 40 or 50 pages. You can recite the Bhagavad Gita even every day. It takes half hour, no more. Still, it's a book that if you explain it, then it may come to a 1,000 pages book. It's written in sutra form. A sutra means very concise. Concise means that you use only one word to express a philosophical concept, which to laymen may take an hour or maybe more time to understand it. So the Bhagavad Gita has been spoken by Lord Krishna more than 5,100 years ago on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I will not tell the Mahabharata story here because we are not going to make it in 15 minutes. But the situation was that Sri Krishna was speaking to his friend and disciple Arjuna. What he became after, one of the most important book on transcendental knowledge that has ever been recited and after written in the whole human history. I would say, without fear of being challenged, that the Bhagavad Gita is the most important book of transcendental philosophy, because it contains the ABC. If you understand the Bhagavad Gita, then you can understand all other books. Or maybe, to be more precise, it would be easier to understand all other books. But if you don't understand the basic teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, then everything else will become a little confused. And so what the Bhagavad Gita says? What is this ABC of transcendental knowledge, of our philosophy? We all know that the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is basically history and ethics. That is what is the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, Arjuna stops talking and does what every intelligent man should do. When someone is in a confusion, he should make questions. He should not talk. He should not state they should make questions. So who to make questions to? Of course not to anyone. You should make questions to a qualified person, to a real guru, to a real spiritual master. And Arjuna was so lucky that he had this bona fide spiritual master, and that was Sri Krishna. Of course, we all know that Sri Krishna was more than just a spiritual master. He was the original spirit. He was a Jagat Guru. He was the guru of everyone. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in that situation, Krishna presented himself as the guru. And Arjuna understood that Krishna was the guru. So he started to make questions in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And thanks to Arjuna's sincerity, then we have in the second chapter the very basic concept of our philosophy, or the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is the difference between the body and the soul. This is the ABC. If we don't understand this, then we get, our life is completely confused. We don't know what is what. And we think that the body is the center of our life, because we have not understood what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna said that this body is just a temporary accident in a longer or larger karmic succession or event. But it is not what we are. Today we are men, we are women, we are Indians, we are Americans. Tomorrow we are not. Tomorrow the soul, we leave the body, go somewhere else. Then it may be born in England, and then we think we are English, but we were not English. Just like today, we are not Indians, we are not Italians, we are not French. And Krishna said to Arjuna, are you really satisfied in thinking that your body is yourself? If you make this basic mistake, then the whole of your life will be completely wasted in trying to get something which is right, which is happiness, but in a wrong way. Looking for happiness, trying to find it through sensorial activities, which is the body. To find happiness or perfection with the body. But we are not the body, and that's why nobody ever be satisfied in this material world, and this is why nobody will ever be satisfied in trying to find satisfaction through the body. So the ABC is that we are not this body, that we are spirit soul. And the second teaching that you find in the last part of the second chapter, but it will be more explained and developed in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, is what is the first thing that you notice when there is a soul? What is? Activity, isn't it? You do something, even if you appear to be still seated, still you are thinking, you are feeling, you are action. This is even the trees. They do something, although you don't perceive it. They do something. There is no difference between life, which is the characteristic, the quality of the soul, and action. So that's why the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is karma, karma yoga. What is karma? You are from India. I don't doubt that there is any one of you who do not know what is karma. Karma comes from a Sanskrit root, which is?
Karma is like if you do something bad, if you do something good. If you do something bad to a person, you get karma. It's like you get something bad. If you do something good to a person, you get something good.
That's right. But just to understand a little better, the word karma comes from the Sanskrit root kri, which means to do. You are alive, you do something. So, what happens when you do something? Can we just do anything we want and not get any results from what we do? Oh, this is impossible. It is even a law from physics. It is even a material law. Anything we do, just anything, even the most simple thing that we do, will have a reaction. Even Lavoisier, he was a French physicist, that he said that that everything we do will result in a reaction. Since we are going to have a reaction from what we do, it is not intelligent to try to understand what is the right action so that we get the right reactions. Is it not foolish to think that we can do anything we want, or maybe I can act badly, but you know, God is good. He will give me a good reaction. Just like in some religion that I will not mention, which is not our religion, of course. They say, okay, we can do what we want, but you know, he died in the cross, so he will save us. But we do any nonsense we want. But this is not philosophy, this is not logical, it's not acceptable. You get what you do according to what you do. So better we learn how to behave in such a way we can have the best reaction possible. And this is called karma yoga. It's a science of action. How to behave in such a way we have a pleasant life in the present and an even more pleasant life in the future. In this life, or if we don't perfect ourselves in this same life, in the next lives. And this is what the Vedas are all about. The Vedas teach how to lead good life, just like you are doing here. You are worshipping Saraswati, you are worshipping Lakshmi, you are worshipping Lord Venkateshwar. And this is what we should do, this is what all human beings should do. To worship the Supreme Lord and learn how to continue acting piously, religiously, even when we go out of the temple. We should not think that religious life is when we come in the temple and when we go outside we can do anything we want. This is called the elephant bath philosophy. You know what the elephant in India do? I lived in India for many years. You were born in India. The elephant, they go in a river, they take the water, they wash themselves very, very cautiously. And then they go back in the bank. They take the dust and they sprout it all over the body. So what's the use of that bath? So if you come in a temple and you do Saraswati Puja or Lakshmi Puja or Krishna Puja or any Puja, and then you go out and behave like any other materialist or atheist people, then whatever you have done will not give you the best result. That doesn't mean that your coming to the temple will be useless. This is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that it is not the best thing you can do. Better you come in the temple, be pious, go outside the temple and continue to be pious. So this is what the first, second and third chapter is all about. First chapter, history and ethics. Second chapter, the science of the soul, that the soul is not part of the material world. Third chapter is about the science of action. So what is the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is all about? Fourth chapter deals with many different topics, but the main topic is transcendental knowledge. Because Krishna has spoken to Arjuna and he said, you are a spirit soul, this is how you should behave. But then Arjuna has some doubt. So much so that when Krishna said, I spoke the Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivasvan, which is 120 million years ago. It's a long time. So Arjuna said, how is it possible? You know, Vivasvan was there millions of years ago. You born 100 years ago. How is it possible? And Arjuna and Sri Krishna answered very sternly, saying, oh, you don't understand. I spoke to you two chapters telling you that we are eternal, and now you are telling me that I am younger than Vivasvan. I am eternal. Just like Vivashvan is also eternal, but the difference is that Vivashvan became Vivashvan, but I did not become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I always was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why I had the power, the position, the right to instruct Vivashvan 120 millions of years ago at the beginning of this Manvantara, just like I'm doing now with you. And Krishna says in this chapter two very important things. The first thing is that a transcendental knowledge cannot be invented, cannot be dreamt in at night. It has to be received by authorities. And Krishna outlines in the fourth chapter two types of authorities. Himself, when he said, I come down in this world when I see a decline in religious principles, when I see that the right principles are forgotten or manipulated by humans, then I come myself personally, just like Krishna did 5,100 years ago, a little more than that, or as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in so many incarnations, Lord Ramachandra, or so many incarnations. He says, I come. And in the 34th shloka of the Bhagavad Gita, he says something very interesting, because if we had to wait for Krishna to come to receive again the Bhagavad Gita, so we are in trouble. What do we do? Who knows when Krishna will come? It may take, of course, we know when Krishna will come again. But, you know, it will take millions of years, and we are not going to be here. So Krishna, in the 34th verse of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, says, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnana sevaya upateshantite gyanam gyanina stattvadarshina. He says, don't wait for me. I send someone. I send a guru. I send a spiritual master. I send my representative. They are not different from me. Don't think that if I am not here, you have the right to not listen, to not obey, to not learn, to not make question. Oh, you are not Krishna. Then why should I listen to you? You know. No, Krishna says, I will send a spiritual master. And he is my representative. And you have to learn from him. And how you learn from him? First of all, you look for him. You have to look for a very qualified person to learn from. And then you have to make questions. Why make questions? Because if you don't make questions, he will not talk. You make questions, and then he will answer, just like Arjuna did in the Bhagavad Gita. He made questions. At a certain point, he said, I am confused, please instruct me. And then Krishna said, okay, now you stop talking from the material point of view. Now I will teach you the philosophy of transcendence. So you have to make questions to the spiritual master. But that is not enough. Because from making questions, you only receive Divya Jnana, which is transcendental knowledge. You will not get bhakti. You will not get devotion directly from transcendental knowledge. This is only one rail of the two rails of the train. You need knowledge. Then you make questions. And then you have to serve. You have to make seva. You have to make guru seva. You have to make sadhu seva. You have to make seva in the temple to the deities. You have to serve. Because through service, you get kripa. You get prasadam. And this is how you go back to the spiritual world. How can I come to your house, banging on the door and say, I'm an important devotee? Or, please, you know, would you let me come in? Of course, in the first way, you never let me in. In the second way, please, can I come in very humbly? I am your friend, I am your servant. Let me in. Then he will let you in. So just by learning and be a great scholar, Krishna is not impressed, because he knows more. He doesn't like arrogant people. You have to learn, and then you have to serve, because through service you develop the right qualities. the right internal qualities by which Krishna will be pleased and let you in. Because if we study the nature of the soul, we find out that love is the utmost, is the most important of our quality. That is bhakti. So how do you express love? You love your children. What do? To prove that you love him? You give him something. You see? You are offering now your shoulder to him. This is service. This is seva. And he's appreciating, and one day he will remember, oh, my father, if he's your son, oh, my father was so kind, was so loving to me, that one day I was hearing the devotee speaking in the temple, and I was tired, I didn't understand what he was saying anyway, so I wanted to take a little rest. And he offered my, this is bhakti. And he will remember, and one day when we would behold, then he will offer you your shoulder to rest. So this logic is something similar to what happens in the spiritual world. We are Krishna lovers, we are God's lovers, but to express it, then we serve Krishna because we love him, we do something for him, we like you so much, then I do something, and Krishna loves us back, then he will do something for us in a chain reaction of loving exchanges, which is the real essence of life in the spiritual world. So the fourth chapter, there are so many other teachings, I will stop here because we have I think a few minutes more. Couple more minutes. I have some questions. So just as to resume, the fourth chapter, Krishna is telling us how to receive this knowledge. You have to receive it from him, you have to receive it from a spiritual master, you have to receive it from the bona fide books, which have been written by the bona fide spiritual master, and or from Krishna himself. Just like in the Vedas, we have Vedas which has been spoken or written directly from God, and there are books which have been written by saints. There are two different types of books. Anyway, this is a quite complicated subject matter. I will now let a few minutes to make questions if you have them.
Any questions or comments, anybody at this point? It's a very nice subject matter. And you all very, very learned as well. A lot of children today. Is something very special today? Usually there are not that many. They are in love with Saraswati. All the children are in love with Saraswati. Okay, that's wonderful. All future pundits.
Yeah.
It's very good. Knowledge is actually very, very, very important. I think it's very appropriate we are talking about the fourth chapter, and we are worshipping Mother Saraswati. Very appropriate, because the knowledge liberates. And this is the also what comes up in the fourth chapter. By knowledge we are liberated, enlightened, yeah? Deep.
Rajgopal is calling. Get the October, he wants October schedule.
Okay, so if there's no questions, we'll conclude with the top of the sandwich. We like to have things in a sandwich. So chanting, then a little bit of discussion, then another chanting. So like bread, cheese, another piece of bread. Hare Krishna.